Vitamin D is called the sunshine vitamin because the sun is the major source for this important supplement, proven to be protective for bone and heart health and against cancer. There have been hundreds of new studies that have linked low vitamin D levels to a higher risk of chronic health problems, heart disease, stroke, diabetes, prostate, breast, and colon cancers, autoimmune diseases, infections, depression, and even cognitive decline. Studies have also suggested that many Americans are vitamin D deficient due to working and playing indoors and slathering on the sunscreen. This has led many doctors and major medical groups to advocate for increasing the use of vitamin D supplements as part of an overall health strategy. So much so that the sales of vitamin D supplements have soared to $425 million last year from $40 million in 2001. But more is not always simply better, as the controversy around a recent report issued from the Food and Nutrition Board of the Institute of Medicine, the health arm of the National Academy of Sciences, has proven. This report has caused some stir in the medical community as to what the optimal and necessary daily requirements of vitamin B should be, as well as raising the specter of the possible ill effects of too much vitamin D. So who needs vitamin D supplements and why? And how much do we need for optimal health benefits? Joining me this morning with the answers to these questions is Dr. Arnold Moses, Distinguished Professor of Medicine in the Division of Endocrinology and the Director of the Clinical Unit at the Institute for Human Performance at Upstate Medical University. He also runs the Metabolic Bone Program at Upstate's Joslin Center. Welcome, Dr. Moses. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
First, let's begin by explaining exactly what is vitamin D.
Vitamin D is an essential hormone and nutrient. It's a hormone because under the influence of appropriate ultraviolet light from the sun, the skin can make vitamin D, and where it works in different parts of the body. Also, it's a nutrient which we're able to obtain from our food and from vitamin D supplements as part of calcium or multivitamins or standalone.
Okay, but the majority of how we would get it and naturally would be through the sun.
Our ancestors got it through the sun.
Right.
And vitamin D deficiency first became apparent several thousand years ago when people started living in smoky, crowded cities that didn't get a proper sunlight.
So why do we need it? I mean, why is it so important to our bodies?
Most important role of vitamin D is to maintain bone integrity, strength. The vitamin D is important in the fact that it causes the absorption from the stomach and intestine of the vitamin D we obtain in our food or supplements.
And it also does things like improve muscle strength and immune function as well. Does it do those kinds of things?
Well, there's good evidence, very good evidence, that in addition to the skeletal effects of vitamin D, vitamin D does improve muscle function, improves muscle strength, prevents falls, and all other kinds of other things related to muscles. The remainder of the things you mentioned, and which have been discussed quite a bit, are called extraskeletal effects in terms of cancer, immunity, etc. These, at this time, are all speculative. What's been reported in innumerable medical problems and diseases is a correlation between the levels of vitamin D in the blood and the incidence of these diseases. But correlation does not mean cause and effect.
Yeah, that's really often a confusing point.
It suggests a cause and effect. And there are ongoing studies that are with acceptable scientific methods, prospective double-blind studies going on now to help understand more, prove more about the relationship between vitamin D and many ailments.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot more studies that need to be done as well. The question, what we do know, though, is that it really does help the absorption of calcium, though. So it's a very important part, as you said, for the bone metabolic processes.
Without vitamin D, the calcium that you take by mouth doesn't get absorbed properly.
So we get it mostly from the sun, and it's available in some foods, but not too many, right?
We used to get it mainly from the sun. But as you mentioned before, even in the light months when the sun could make vitamin D in the skin, people wear hats with wide brims and lather themselves in sunscreen. So, for instance, one thing I often mention that surprises people is that the vitamin D levels in Syracuse, Miami, and San Diego are roughly the same.
That's amazing, really? Oh, because people down in the South are covering themselves, right? That's very funny, actually. So let's clarify. There have been, we just have a couple more seconds before our break. What type of vitamin D do we need? I know there's all this talk about different types of vitamin D.
These days, there's probably not much difference between D3 or cholecalciferol and D2 ergocalciferol. D3 is the natural vitamin D of mammals, people, etc. And most of the supplements now have D3. The only real place to get D2 these days is by prescription, 50,000 units of ergocalciferol.
So most people can get D3 in the supplements. I'm going to ask you to hold that thought because what I really want to get to is the controversy surrounding how much we need, and we're going to do that after the break. We'll be right back with HealthLink on Air and to continue this discussion with Dr. Arnold Moses. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR. Linda Cohen here with Dr. Arnold Moses, and we're discussing vitamin D, that magical supplement that's been so much in the news lately, and how much we really need to keep us healthy. Before the break, Dr. Moses, you were explaining a little bit about the importance of it, of vitamin D for calcium absorption. Tell us more about how that works.
Vitamin D acts on the intestinal cells of the small intestine, duodenum mainly. It does this by activating calcium pumps in that area of the intestine. These pump activations result in movement of calcium from the inside of the intestine, where it got there from the food, into the bloodstream, and then to all other organs of the body, including the bone.
So it really is crucial in that whole metabolic process. Okay. So here's where the big rub is how much do we really need? And I do know that one of the big breakthroughs in medicine these days is that we can actually measure the serum level of vitamin D in the blood. We have a test now that can analyze how much we actually have in our blood, as opposed to just kind of blindly saying to people, take 2,000 a day or 3,000 a day. We actually have tools for determining what our levels are. How has that impacted, or has that impacted, on our recommendations, and also, what is the recommendation?
Well, you're certainly correct that we can quite easily measure the vitamin D levels in the blood to determine if somebody is grossly deficient, insufficient, normal, or perhaps even is taking too much vitamin D.
So what is it that how much do we actually need? What is the optimal dose, the optimal level in the blood for us to have?
Well, here's where the so-called controversy comes in. There recently, in November actually, was issued a report, long awaited, from the Food and Nutrition Board on their recommendations for vitamin D intake in the population as a whole. This was sponsored by the U.S. government and the Canadian government, and consisted of about the group consisted of about 15 experts, clinicians, toxicologists, and all kinds of other specialists. But you have to remember that they're issuing recommendations for the population as a whole, and their recommendations have a tendency to be on the lowish side, because they can't evaluate and aren't evaluating individual patients, but the population as a whole. So they're very much concerned with issuing guidelines that will cause a substantial number of patients to get side effects like an elevated calcium. So they're coming from a public health angle. In contrast, physicians in a face-to-face relationship with a patient know a lot more about the individual patient. They're not looking at society, they're looking at an individual patient. And with that person's needs and related problems, perhaps. And so the physician can will often end up recommending a higher blood level be attained of vitamin D than the people interested in public health. The recommendations for public health are 400, 600, and 800 units a day of vitamin D. 400 in 1 year old to mature, middle age, 600 Medicare age, 800. Whereas the scientific societies interested in this, the clinical societies, recommend more. The 400 is okay for the young people. 800 is what's usually recommended by the society's authorities for middle age, and 1,200 routinely in the elderly.
But now you're talking about international units, right, and that has to do with the actual supplements you take orally. But I'm saying there seems to be a distinction between how much you recommend somebody take versus knowing what's actually working in their blood. So isn't the blood level really the thing we're really shooting for?
Well, you're shooting for getting in the recommended level of vitamin D, but not everybody has to have a vitamin D level, but probably once in their lifetime they should.
And in terms of having it measured? Well, so what is the, do you know, I mean, is it between, somebody said once it was between 20 and 30, not micrograms, I forget the actual MCL.
Nanograms per mil.
Yeah. Nanograms per milliliter?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that still accepted as the level you want to find in most healthy individuals?
Well, the Food Nutrition Board recommends 20 nanograms per mil, and the scientific organization's guidelines recommend that the values be above 30 or 32. So there's some disagreement between 20 and 30.
And it sounds to me like a lot more research needs to be done, because they're making all these claims, as you alluded to earlier, that it's actually preventive for things like cancer, colon cancer, or even cognitive decline. And none of that's real. Like you said, it's all correlative. It's not actually causally proven.
You're correct. There needs to be a lot more research. And even if it's proven that there are cause and effect relationships between these non-skeletal actions, we don't have the slightest idea right now what the optimal vitamin D levels would be to prevent these diseases.
Yeah, I think
the numbers we have are all in relation to skeletal and muscle effects.
That's a very crucial point. So the question always comes up, so how much is too much? I mean, you know, people jump on this bandwagon. I mean, that's classic for supplements, you know, the whole with the mega doses of vitamin C many years ago. So people might feel, oh, I don't have enough. I'm going to take, you know, I don't know, 50,000 units every day. I mean, what are the hazards of taking too much vitamin D?
The hazard of taking too much vitamin D is for the blood level of calcium to be increased, and that can cause nausea, vomiting, and other undesirable side effects. The calcium can end up in your urine and cause kidney stones, so there is a potential problem. we don't recommend in our practice that normal people, adult people, take more than 2,000 units.
Per day?
Per day. The Food Nutrition Board says flatly that the safe daily upper limit of normal is 4,000 a day. Even though they're conservative on the blood level, they say it's safe to take 4,000 units a day.
Doesn't that seem counterintuitive? I mean,
yes.
That it's...
but we tell our patients to stay below 2,000. But we have a consultative practice, and we get to see a lot of patients who don't respond properly to the usual amounts of vitamin D. So some people need, even without obvious intestinal disease, some people need more than the usual recommended amount for healthy people.
So there are people, though, we were talking earlier, that there are people who are more at risk for vitamin D deficiency. And tell us more about who those people would be.
Well, these are people who are markedly obese. These are institutionalized elderly people. And there's a very high incidence of vitamin D deficiency in pregnant women in this country.
Yeah, so that has to be watched, obviously, by the OBGYNs taking care of them. How about people with dark skin? I read somewhere that. And also... people over age 50 in general, do you think?
Well, the dark skin will prevent or decrease the amount of vitamin D made in the skin. But for practical purposes, we don't really get that much vitamin D from the sun in this country. We get it from food and supplements.
Mm. Okay. Are there the kinds of foods that we can get it from are things like fatty fish, sardines, those kinds of things? And I guess that's not commonly
eaten. We don't eat high vitamin D foods very much in this country. If you look at the list of foods and contents, it starts with eel, which
yeah,
and it's... works its way down to egg yolks.
Oh, I see.
And egg yolks have 25 units in a yolk, but we're all concerned about cholesterol too.
It seems like we're always walking that, you know, that tightrope.
Well, it's calcium, and we're not talking much about calcium today, but calcium can be obtained from food, particularly dairy products, 1,200 units or milligrams a day that you need. Vitamin D is almost impossible, the way we live and what we eat, to get enough from food. And you almost always have to take it as part of a supplement.
Right. And you're recommending basically something about between 1 and 2,000 a day, or you say for most of your patients, 2,000 a day.
Well, the typical for people we see mostly, Medicare age, is 1,200 units. Mm-hmm. But if they take a little bit more, up to 2,000, it's okay. We might check their calcium a little more often, but...
Just very quickly, in the little bit of time we have left, there was some talk about it increasing the danger of coronary artery disease with hypercalcification of the arteries. Has that been proven?
That's a single report, and not too many people are concerned about that, particularly if you keep the calcium intake within the recommended range of 1,200 or so. I wouldn't go much more above 1,200 from combined food and supplements with calcium. And if you stay below 2,000, certainly, of vitamin D, I don't think that's demonstrated to be a problem.
Dr. Arnold Moses, Distinguished Professor, Service Professor of Medicine in the Division of Endocrinology and the Director of the Clinical Research Unit at the Institute for Human Performance, part of Upstate Medical University. Thanks so much for sharing all your world-class experience and knowledge with us. Let's hope we're a little bit more clear now on the guidelines for vitamin D. We have to take a short break, but we'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.